Hello and welcome to the Tuesday version of Bulls Beat. We got plenty from the football radio show from head coach Jeff Scott, along with Daquan Bowers and Thad Mangum. He had some pretty funny stuff to say. That was a really good show, and you never know how it's going to go on that first coach's show after a loss at all, much less a lopsided loss. But I kind of had a feeling that Coach Scott was not going to be moping around. He sure wasn't. He's an upbeat guy, but I think you'll agree there was some stern words mixed in with his upbeat message, so you'll hear those for sure. Also, some basketball news, namely the women's basketball team able to get in some workouts, team workouts, meaning everybody on the basketball court, not an actual practice. So kind of an interesting distinction to make, but you can sort of see, at least visibly, what's coming up next when it comes to sports here. Again, the only fall sport is football, and the next sport that we know, remember, when it comes to winter sports, it is just basketball. So men's and women's basketball not starting until November the 25th to see them on the court. And if you go to USF's women's basketball Twitter feed, also their YouTube channel, you can see some of the shots from the workout. It was great to see Maria Alvarez out there. It was great to hear from Jose Fernandez and guard Sydney Harvey. And again, practice doesn't begin for a good bit, but the team can actually get in some work on the court. You can't run plays, but you can pass the ball around. You can get up some shots. And the Muma Center is alive and well when it comes to that sort of activity. Also, some cool stuff when it comes to a former standout pitcher for the baseball team. We'll pass that along to you. And our interviews continue in the second segment. As we will span the globe, we will go from Dominica to Mauritius with a member of the men's track and field team and the women's tennis team. Again, this is all from my conversations, multiple, we're talking dozens, last week in and around various Olympic sports photo shoots where I got to sit down with various individuals. And I think two outstanding examples are coming up in our second block of the show. Let's start off with some clips from the coach's show. You can hear it in full, get replayed. It makes its debut on Monday night, but we'll condense it down to some of the highlights. In my opinion, again, Coach Scott was very upfront saying, and you kind of heard it on the Monday version of Bulls Beat, how the Bulls simply got outplayed. And that's one thing when you're going up against a top 10 team and a playoff contender, that probably is going to happen. But what was strange, and I thought stark and very frank here from Coach Scott from the radio show aired on Monday, was what happened last Monday. I was surprised to hear this, and not nearly as surprised apparently as the coach was to experience it.
I got asked this at the press conference, but I didn't go into detail last week because it was still in the middle of the week. But, you know, I was disappointed in our Monday last week. Coming off the first win and all that, I really thought that Monday our guys would be fired up, excited. And last Monday was probably our worst practice of the year since I've been here. Now, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday picked up and was solid. But I told our players that today. I was like, listen, you know, how we respond today is going to say a lot about this week and about this weekend, right? And I want to see our best practice. And we got done a little while ago. It probably was our best practice of the year. I mean, the guys, there was nobody moping around. There was good energy. And I told those guys, I'm very honest with the team. I said, hey, I like what I saw today. And, you know, now we got to respond. And, you know, one other point I want to make that I made with the team today is, you know, I think last year one of our teams in our own conference, Cincinnati, went and played at Ohio State and got beat 42-0 at Ohio State. It was week two of the season, very similar to this. And then that Cincinnati team, decided, you know, to learn from it and respond the right way, ended up winning 9 of the next 10 games and played in the conference championship game. So, you know, I told our players, hey, this game versus Notre Dame at the end of the year, when everything's done, our season's over, you know, our season's not going to be determined or, you know, graded on how we played Notre Dame week two. It's really going to be looked at of how we responded the next 9 weeks. And so that's really the mindset that I want our guys to have is, hey, yes, we got some work to do. We need to improve. But, man, we have every goal that we set before the season is still out there in front of us. And, you know, that's the mindset that we're going to take. And I was able to see that today with our guys.
Interesting stuff. You know, I get to overhear a few more things than people that don't spend their days at the Sylvan Athletic Center do. And I happened to catch Coach Scott with one of the assistants saying he thought it was pretty good today and everyone was pretty upbeat. But yeah, a little surprising that a week ago wasn't quite the same. So many things happened on the bad side. There's really no need to hash them all out here. But one thing we didn't talk about on Monday's show was the punt game issue. And again, something that Coach Scott was up front in addressing.
The biggest disappointment really started with the snap. You know, unfortunately, we were inconsistent. Every snap was high. And then we had two that went over his head that really, you know, created a tough situation. And, you know, we got to be better. I mean, it doesn't matter who you play. You got to do the easy things right? It's the common things that you've got to do in every game. And that was unfortunate. We got in a situation where our backup long snapper was Antonio Greer going in the game. We've already lost one to an ACL, Andrew Beardall, earlier this year. And then Bryce Bernard, who's normally our backup long snapper, had to stay behind due to some COVID-related issues. So we went into the game with Antonio Greer being our backup long snapper. He got hurt in the game, and so I put Ian Dineen back out there one more time just because we, you know, really didn't have anybody else. And then when he snapped it over his head, I had seen enough. I wasn't going to put him back in that situation again. So we ended up just punting with our quarterback for the remainder of the game.
Greer, of course, had to leave the game with the injury. Boyles didn't play. Coach Scott addressed that but didn't give us really a status report. We'll expect one maybe during Tuesday's press conference. You'll hear plenty of that on Wednesday's version of Bulls Beat. Now, again, we addressed the quarterback situation yesterday and the fact that right now the play is not where it needs to be. What specifically does he want to see for a starter to emerge?
I think the biggest thing for me is consistency throwing the ball. You know, I mean, I think all the guys that have gone in there have done a good job of leading the offense, communicating. We haven't had a ton. We had one delay a game that should not have happened last week. But outside of that, those guys have done a good job of managing the game, if you will. They've done a good job in some of the running game things. But we just have not thrown the ball consistently the way that we need to. So, to me, that's the number one thing that I'm looking for, is someone that can stand back there and consistently deliver the ball. And as soon as we can find that, you know, our plan and goal from the very beginning has been to use these first three games to get as much film on the quarterbacks, give them opportunities, with the goal going into Cincinnati here in another week of really saying, hey, this is our quarterback, at least for that game, and not get in a situation where we're going two series and out two series. But, you know, the reason we've had to do that now is because we're still evaluating guys, and you only get so many reps. You know, I think we only had 60 plays on offense this past week. So right now, that's kind of where we are. But the goal and hope is that when we get ready for conference play here in another week, that we can kind of settle in and let that person go with the offense.
Would help if the wide receiver group is a little bit more productive. Don't know if you noticed, but Randall St. Felix did not get on the field. He was available but did not play. Of course, his absence was greatly felt. What about that part of the team?
We've got really good athleticism in that room, really good potential. You know, knock on wood, the guys in practice and games have caught the ball well. But, you know, it's all about, you know, the passing game is about spacing and timing. And so if you're supposed to go 10 yards on your slant and you go six, then there's a guy in the window, the ball gets tipped, and it's incomplete. And a lot of people are yelling at the quarterback, but really the wide receiver, you know, ran the short route. And so it's being sure that our splits are exactly right. If we say 2.5 yards off the hash was your alignment, it's not three, it's not four, it's 2.5 yards. And so I think the details have been lacking a little bit there. And those guys are – they understand what the expectations are. We've played a lot of guys. We're going to kind of hone in on maybe five or six guys here moving forward now that we've had two games. And hopefully that'll help us with our consistency and the guys being where they need to be.
And one more from Coach Scott, a look at the upcoming opponent. It would seem first glance, right, to benefit the Bulls that they play two games and FAU hasn't played one yet. But on the other hand, especially with so many players gone from the Owls, you don't have any tape on them, so how in the world do you study film on a team that hasn't put out any?
Yeah, it was really interesting last night. We're watching their video, and I'm sitting here going, okay, I'm watching FAU's video from last year, and their coordinators that were running those offense and defense, they're in our building right now. So that was kind of a first right there. But, you know, I think number one, you watch some of the video from last year to see some of the returning guys to kind of gauge the personnel. And then you have to look at the coaches that are, you know, Coach Leavitt, his last year as a defensive coordinator was at Oregon, so we're watching a lot of that defensive video there and obviously watching some of the stuff that, you know, Coach Taggart's done in the past with the offense. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of storylines. We have maybe five coaches total, counting some of our GAs and analysts. They were all at Florida Atlantic last year. And, you know, obviously I have a lot of respect for Coach Levitt and Coach Taggart and, you know, what they did here during their time here and kind of building the foundation that we get an opportunity to coach and build on top of. So I think there's a lot of intriguing storylines for sure. You know, the message for our guys, you know, coming off our last game is really the same message we have every week, that, hey, this is about us. It's not about FAU. It's not about any of the storylines that may be intriguing, right, to the outside. But this is really about us improving and us fixing some of the issues, you know, that we had last week and continuing to take that next step moving forward on this journey.
Again, if you want to hear the full show get replayed, plenty of opportunities. Just go to our Twitter page at Bulls Unlimited for those air times. A couple of clips from the guests on the show this week. Defensive line coach Daquan Bowers on what he's looking for in a good defensive lineman and maybe a big-time struggle for that unit against the Irish and what needs to change.
In my opinion, you know, it's multiple things. You know, number one is the love for the game. You know, as a defensive lineman, you can't not love football because you have a tough job to do every play. My biggest thing as a defensive line coach, I like my guys to be, you know, mentally tough, and I like them to be physically tough. I like them to be able to bend, move, and change the direction. You know, but that mental part is as big as that physical part, because you have to fight through injury, because there's not going to be a time as a defensive lineman that you're not banged up with ankles and knees and elbows and shoulders because you're constantly hitting somebody every play. So, you know, the biggest thing for a defensive lineman is coming with that mindset of being energetic and coming with the positive attitude of grinding every day, because there's going to be hard days. There's going to be days you don't feel like doing it. But in order for your football team to be good, your defensive line has to be good, because they're going to be the driving force of that defense and that football team. Because without stopping the run, without getting to the quarterback, you don't stand a chance to win games.
Awesome. How much onus do you put on your guys for the defensive performance this week? I checked out the film a little bit, saw some of the linebackers play, and I noticed that some of the interior guys just couldn't hold those blocks. What's your message to those guys as you go into next week?
We got to get better. You know, I tell my guys like it is. When we do well, I tell them. And when we don't do well, I tell them as well. And I challenge myself as a coach to get them better prepared. You know, and I challenge my guys to look themselves in the mirror and ask themselves, did they do everything that they could to help this team win? You know, and from there, we'll get the X's and O's corrected in the scheme part. But, you know, a lot of that, you know, was just hand placement, you know, missing with our hands, taking bad steps. You know, a lot of it wasn't so much of what they did, but it's what we didn't do.
Awesome.
You know, I always tell our players, you know, it's not who we play, it's how we play.
You know, they'll be geared up to play better this week against FAU, again, 6 o'clock kickoff. We can also tell you that the following weekend is a 3:30 kickoff at Cincinnati. Video on ESPN+. Of course, you'll want to listen just to the audio here on USF Bulls Unlimited. Thad Mangum, pretty impressive segment with him towards the end of the show, told the story of how his last game last year was his first game. Injured on the first drive, decided he needed to play the whole game, didn't really want to tell his coaches because his team was already thin on the defensive line. And then this gem.
There's always great things in these bios. Sports that you enjoy. Two of them listed. Golf. Okay. Jet skiing is the other one. Tell us everything about jet skiing.
I've actually never been jet skiing. I just knew I was coming to Tampa, so I wanted to try it. I wanted to get on the water and I've only been fishing one time, so, but I see every, like, on social media and stuff, I see everybody just posting about going on the water, going to the beach and stuff. So I just want to experience that.
Listen, you want hard-hitting news, you know where to come
from. Get through the season, man. I'm sure we'll find a way to make that happen, man.
Yes,
welcome
sir.
To Tampa.
Yeah, we have a goal now. We need to get you on jet skis before this is done.
Oh, he's quite a character, and that was quite a show again. Plenty of chances to hear it get replayed. One note I wanted to pass along, the Phillies system with Alec Bohm graduating from one of their prospects to full-time major leaguer, now has a new member of its MLB.com top 30 as far as prospects go. That would be number 30, Carson Ragsdale, recent draft pick, of course, out of USF. We'll go globetrotting in our next segment from track and field to women's tennis. You're going to enjoy it as our interviews from the photo shoot last week continue here when we return on Bulls Beat.